وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We started in a previous episode talking about the rights of non-Muslims in an Islamic state. And obviously, when we say an Islamic state, we mean that a country or a system that is run by the Islamic laws, not just by name. Because we have many countries in this world who acclaim to be Muslims, and they might be, I don't know, sometimes they consider themselves to be the Kaaba of Muslims, but yet they violate every human right in the book. So we're not talking about those ones. We're talking about a country that applies Islamic law, okay? If it does not exist now, let's say hypothetically, because we want to see what the Islamic text say about the rights of non-Muslims. Before we can dive into this topic of the rights of non-Muslims in an Islamic state, we have to look at Islam and how it defines people who are non-Muslims. And we're not talking about dividing them or defining them based on the religions like Christians or Jews or atheists. No, that's not an Islamic category. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran looks at all these people and He calls them Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. And they are religions. So a religion is not what the Islamic government goes by. Rather than, it defines people into categories. The first category that Islam considers and talks about is what we call Ahlul Dhimma. Ahlul Dhimma, the term, a lot of people sometimes they misinterpret that term or they define it in a wrong way. Ahlul Dhimma in Arabic, it means those who are promised and given safety under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As we say, fi dhimmatillah and fi dhimmatin nabi alayhi as-salatu wa salam. So this is the first category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their rights. So if you look at jurisprudence, you will find many rulings, many laws dealing with people of Ahlul Dhimma, the people who are under the protection of an Islamic law or an Islamic state. So these people, they have the absolute right to do whatever they want. Obviously, I mean, not attacking the Muslims, not harming the Muslims, not doing anything towards the Muslims, but they can live under an Islamic state. And since they promised and they've been given security not to do any harm, so these ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them, and you can read that in the Quran, and you can read that through the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and through the dealings of, for example, the imams, or even, let's say, those who were in power, be it the Umayyad dynasty or be it the Abbasid dynasty or even until now. So these people of dhimma, those who are under the protection of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So this is the first category. So if we want to look at their rights, like I said, we have to look at them under this category. Now, the second category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers, or we talk about under an Islamic state, is what we call Al-Musta'manun. Now, who are Al-Musta'manun? I will get into that right after the break.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB, English Radio. We were saying that when we look at the human rights of non-Muslims in Islam, we have to classify them into categories. The first one we said Ahlul Dhimma, those who are under the protection of Islam, and those who what we call Al-Musta'manun. Al-Musta'manun are the group of people who come to an Islamic country or an Islamic state, either for work or either for study or for other, you know, other, be it pleasure or travel or what have you. So those who come to an Islamic state and they stay under the Islamic state, but under this category. So these ones are also dealt with in a specific way. So we want to have a look at these two categories and see how Islam deals with them both. Now, regardless of a person where he is or what color he is or what ethnicity he is from or which background he come from or his status in the community or what time frame he lives in Islam, they're all looked at as human beings, because Islam is one of the highest religions in terms of trying to protect the rights of people. You will not find any religion on the planet of Earth or a system that provides the human rights, the basic, at least the basic human rights to humans more than Islam. Islam not only provides them with the basic human rights, but it even goes beyond. And as we said, if you look at the Human Charter, the right Human Charter of Human Rights, which is in the UN, you see most of it is preserved in Islam. Now, the first right for those people is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under Islamic law, looks at them, be it the people who are from Ahlul Dhimma under the Islamic protection, or those who come to work or study or what have you. They're all looked at as human beings, and thus they need to be dignified and at least looked at as human beings. Because Islam clearly states in the Quran, in chapter Al-Isra, verse 70, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored and glorified the sons of Adam. And Allah here, he's being very general. He did not specify a race. He did not specify a faith. He did not specify a color. He says the sons of Adam. And all the human beings on the face of the planet are the sons of Adam. Allah says we have glorified them. So you, be it a Christian or a Jew, or be it a dhimmi or non-dhimmi, you are, your dignity is preserved under an Islamic state, meaning that no one can or has the right to come and attack you verbally or physically. That right is protected for you. Now, if you look into Western countries who don't use, or at least don't, they are not run by a faith or a religion, because now they believe in democracy and they believe that they are giving the human rights, you see that does not happen, where people are dealt with in many of these civilized countries based on their color, based on their race, or based on their faith. And they get attacked verbally and physically. So, for example, you see most people Muslims who live in the West, for example, now, they sometimes they have very harsh words to describe them. They call them, I don't know, sometimes camels, sometimes I don't know, desert camels. Sometimes, you know, when women wear hijab, they call them penguins. And the names, the list goes on and on. I mean, it's even hard to say these things. So that their rights is not preserved. While if you change and flip the coin, Allah says, no, everyone in an Islamic country, their rights will be protected. I will leave it here, and I will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.